And I guess we're not having commercials again. This happened to us on the last show. There's usually a commercial. So sorry about the little pause there, everybody that's live. And for our multitude of guests this evening, I'm really, really excited. I've been anxious about this podcast now as I started kind of thinking about this idea and talking to Joe and Anthony about this idea. And then just totally circumstance of meeting two incredible firefighters at two different locations in the country and inviting them on and basically convincing the guinea pig this project that I've had this idea about for a long time. So we're going to start off like we always do. We want to thank everybody who's taking time to either listen now or downloading later on. We truly, truly appreciate all the support that we've been getting since we started doing the podcast, and it's always a blast, and to hear from everybody and the feedback we've been getting is very positive. We want to thank everybody for that. So let me start off with an introduction of our regular hosts, and then we're going to get to our guests right after that, and you'll kind of see where we're going with this here very quickly. My name is Todd Edwards. I did over 30 years with Atlanta Fire Rescue. I'm actually getting ready to go back on a rig in a department not up too far from this my house, and so I'm getting ready to do that again on the road this week teaching, and still going to be doing that as well. Real quick, June, I know that seems like a long way away, but it's really not. If you're in the Tallahassee, Alabama area, we're going to be announcing a major hands-on training class in a vacant high school where we'll have a couple hundred doors to force. We'll have, I don't know how many windows to break. Search and rescue, we're going to do like a survival obstacle course idea that I've come up with. So it's going to be a really cool training. We'll be making that announcement very shortly. You can check out my Facebook page, Firelock Training, and that, all that information will be coming out really, really soon. Anthony will be a part of that as well, since it's in the great state of Alabama. So let me get started with Joe. He's on duty tonight. Get him introduced just in case he has to go do the work of the people. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. My name is Joe Ficarelli. I'm a lieutenant with the fire department in New York City. I've been on the job now 13 and a half years. I did 10 years in the North Bronx, got promoted, got moved to Midtown Manhattan, high-rise capital of the world, and I've been on the Upper West Side in 40 Engine now for the past few years, loving life. Now, I'm really excited for this podcast for reasons to be shown in a little bit, but yeah, I look forward to learning a lot tonight.
I am too. I'm really excited about it. Let's start with Mr. Anthony.
My name's Anthony Rowett. I'm a captain with the Mobile Fire Rescue Department in Mobile, Alabama. Started out as a volunteer in northern New Jersey, volunteered for 3 years, and then ended up moving down here, getting on the job. June will be 13 years I've been here, and been lucky enough to start traveling, getting around with Todd and Joe, teaching a little bit, and getting to see other areas of the fire service around the country. And like the other two, I'm pretty excited to see what kind of discussion and conversation we can have tonight.
So let me preface this real quick. Our topic tonight is women in the fire service. And when I say women in the fire service, it's women in the fire service from their perspective. And instead of just grabbing three, and I know just a multitude of incredible female firefighters in this country. And the one, I've known Karen for a little bit. I've actually done some training with Karen at a conference that she came and helped with. And it was awesome to watch her work, so I know what she's bringing to the table. And then our other two guests, which are going to introduce themselves here in just a second, I met one of these women in Pensacola Beach and was introduced to her and was immediately blown away by her and thought what an incredible person she is. And I think she's going to bring a lot to the table. And several weeks later, I was in Texas teaching and I met another lady and conned her in. We had a drink or two, and then I conned her into coming on this. She was a little hesitant, but I'm glad I got her on board. And I think she brings a different perspective. All three of these women bring a perspective that I think is going to hopefully enlighten a lot of guys, maybe, and hopefully encourage some of the women firefighters that are maybe having issues or are, you know, not knowing how to address issues is kind of where we're going to go. So let me let the guests get on here. You're going to hear very little from me and Joe and Anthony tonight. So let's start with Karen. Karen, can you introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. I'm Karen LaVarnway. I work for Loudoun County, which is in Northern Virginia, just a bit west of Washington, D.C. I promoted to technician, which is I'm just the engine chauffeur, basically. I've been there for about 11 years now.
Awesome.
Is there anything else that you want to know?
I will. We'll come back. We're going to get to that. That's a good start. Britt.
Yes, sir. Hi, I'm Brittany Sutton. I was born and raised in Scurry, Texas, a little small town. I work for a large department in North Texas. Been there since 2014, also a paramedic for the department and part of the Swiftwater program. I am newly promoted to driver engineer and also a member of the Texas A&M Task Force 1 State Swiftwater program.
Wow. Yeah, that's a skill set that I have no ability or knowledge of. So that's I knew you did it. I didn't know how advanced you were at. So I'm very humbled by that already. And Tammy.
Hi, my name is Tammy Goff. I'm a captain medic with the City of Glendale, Arizona. Currently 16 and a half years in. I've been a hazmat tech for about 13 years of those. Got promoted to captain in 18, started teaching, started going to conferences, just kind of really sparked my career again and had the opportunity to come down as a recruit training officer currently. So having a blast and just honored to be on your show. So thank you.
Well, no, thank you. I think one of the what drew me to these three women is where they're at in their organization. They're doing work that I think every firefighter should, you know, as you promote up, you should be in training. You should have some of that tech behind you. Driver engineer, to me, is probably the most important and most difficult job. It's probably the job I was worst at when I was coming up through the ranks. Guys who know my story know that to be a fact. So let me start with this. Tammy, how did you even get into the job? How did you start? How did you all of a sudden wake up one morning and decide you wanted to be in what is still a predominantly male-dominated profession?
I'd say I've definitely always been interested in something that would be physically demanding. I've always been in sports, love working out, being active. But I also definitely had this passion for doing something like a purpose-driven occupation, I think. So I had honestly, seriously thought about joining the military. Like I was going to go sign up and enlist, and I was a senior in high school when 9/11 happened. And I remember one of the news articles that came out had talked about some of the police firefighters had written their social security numbers on their forearms before they ran into the tower. Still gives me goosebumps. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, like talk about a purpose-driven occupation. I was like, this is it. So I was 18 years old. I didn't know anybody. I knocked on the front door of the fire station right down the street from my house. And I was like, what do I got to do to do this? Like, this is what I want to do. So they welcomed me in. They told me what I needed to do. And I ended up graduating high school early, getting my ENT and started testing. So
wow.
I never look back.
That's a cool story. That's a really cool story. Britt, how about you? How'd you get in? How'd you get into the job?
Well, I wasn't one of these people that always wanted to be a fireman. Mine was very much late in the game. I actually wanted to be a vet growing up and couldn't get into vet school. It's very competitive. So ended up doing some odd and end things, and I was like, I need to find a career. So I ended up actually following in my mom's footsteps originally. I went to nursing school, and I hated it. Nursing school kind of teaches you, like, how to be a floor nurse, and it was just very kind of the same thing every day, very monotonous. And I was actually driving to church with my dad, who is also a firefighter where I work as well. And he was asking me, he's like, well, are you excited to become a nurse? And I was like, actually, no. Like, this is not something that I thought it was going to be. So he actually introduced me. Well, he started saying, well, you should come work with me and, you know, work at the fire department. And I was like, girls can't do that job. And he was like, actually, they can. And he actually started introducing me to some of the other females that he works with, that I work with now, and got to talking to them. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, I put in an application, and, yeah, haven't looked back. It's been the best decision I ever made.
Wow. And I love hearing these stories how people get into the job, and those are two very unique. So, Karen, you got to top that.
Well, I know my dad, he only had girls, and he always raised us saying that we can do anything a man can do. So I went, like, full blown with that. Like, all my hobbies are, like, I do woodworking, and I joined the fire department. But when I was going through college, I got my degree in administration of justice because I wanted to be a cop originally. And after I finished school, I know. Let me finish the story, and you'll like it more. So after I finished school, I wanted to keep building my resume. And so I decided to join the Volley Firehouse down the road for me because I was like, oh, this is a great way to, like, meet people, and it's sort of related to what I want to do, you know, public service in general. And so as, like, my years of going through there, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, being on a crew and not, like, riding in a car by yourself, you know, having everybody on a fire truck with you is so much better. So I completely abandoned the police idea. Like, I was interning with Fairfax County Police at the time on their homicide squad. I just, like, abandoned it all, and I applied to Loudoun, which is the next county over from where I live. And, like, 6 months later, I was in recruit school.
Wow.
And it's been the best choice ever, yeah.
And those are three – and it's funny how everybody has these unique stories about getting on the job, and those three were – three very unique and very cool stories. So the next question, and I think it's important, the reason when I was, you know, putting together questions, and of course I shared them with all of you, is I want our guys and I want everybody who listens to the show to understand, you know, that there's more to it than I am a female firefighter. So I'll start, you know, kind of where I ended with Karen, married, kids, you know, those kind of things about your life. What's your family like as a firefighter? And Karen, you're a firefighter, and then you build these, you know, fancy. You do woodworking, which, you know, I could cut my leg off. That'd be the extent of my skill level there. So tell me about your families. We'll start with you, Karen.
Sure. Well, maybe some of your listeners know or not know, but I am dating and have been for many years now your host, Joe Ficcarelli. He and I don't know, we'll see if we get married. We're very happy where we are now. We're both previously divorced, but a year ago we bought a house together. So things are going really well. We have two little girls, Audrey and Reagan. They're 5 and 6 years old. Let's see, what else about the family? So, it's a neat dynamic of having, you know, he makes 24-hour shifts, and I'm on a we just changed over to a 24/48 Kelly schedule. And so it's definitely sometimes a challenge trying to find childcare. We've moved near the children's grandparents. And so we are able to get a lot of help with them. So we're both able to maintain our work schedules and our work life as well as our family life. We have a good balance of it all.
Yeah. And that, boy, that's a challenge. And that's a unique challenge to have, a couple working that kind of schedule, along with, I'm sure, all your other activities and the house you guys are, you know, still redoing or still working on. And Karen, I'll just speak for you. You Joe way out kicked his coverage when he met you, so, you know, he's
oh yeah, he's definitely my better half.
How about you, Britt? I know a little bit. Obviously, I met somebody.
So I'm, you know, currently with someone, not married yet, no kids. Then obviously my dad, he's been in the fire service for a while. Been a good resource for me. My mom is an RN, has been for many years, basically since I was a kid. So, yeah, our family Easters and holidays and Christmases always look funny because, you know, we don't have the regular schedule, so it's always trying to find who's on shift or who's not on shift and who's on call this day and all that nightmare. So it's always a headache of trying to figure all that out, the logistics of it. But yeah.
And again, that family life. And Tammy.
Well, I don't have any family on the job. I kind of talked about that earlier. But I am married. I've been married for coming up on 10 years. He actually is a firefighter, but
okay.
He works for a different city, which is nice because you have your own space.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any kids. We're trying. My parents are here. They're retired, so that's fun. I grew up with three brothers. So maybe that's
mm-hmm.
a little insight into why I kind of chose this career too. But yeah, and I love to travel, and I love my schedule, and it affords us a lot of time to
awesome.
Do that. So.
And again, it's you know, and Brittany, am I correct that the person that you're currently dating or whatever, isn't he on the job?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also,
you know, when I was single for a long time, and it was just one of those things where, like, and I laugh about this with some of the other girls that I work with on the department. If you try to date someone that's not in the fire service, they can be great guys, but they just don't understand. Like, I remember talking to someone one time, and I don't remember what kind of profession he had, but it was just like, oh, yeah, sorry, just got off a wreck or whatever, came back from a wreck, and, you know, it's like a little fender bender. And he was just, like, floored and just like, oh, my gosh, is everyone okay? And, you know, I was just like, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal. You just took the cars off the road and the cops showed up, no big deal. So it was just one of those things that definitely – it's very hard. It can be done. I know many females that have done it, that have dated and married outside of the fire service, but it definitely helps whenever they understand your job.
And that's an interesting perspective. I actually was working on another program, and I was looking up divorce rates, and the divorce rate, you know, for firefighter male isn't – everybody makes this assumption that, like, every guy who's a fireman ends up with at least one, two, three wives, and that's really not the case. But what I did find is that a lot of female firefighters, their divorce rate is higher, especially when they're not married to somebody in public safety, either a firefighter or a police officer. And that may go back to what you were just saying about that. Having that understanding of a fender bender, yeah, it's a fender bender, we don't care, but you know, to the average person, like, oh, my God.
Well, and I think, so too, us being around a lot of men a lot of times, that's an intimidation factor for sure. And I know some of the guys that I dated previously had issues with that as far as, like, you know, well, you're just sleeping with them at the fire station. It's like, no, I'm not. Like, that's not how that works. I would, you know, you're more than welcome to come and hang out at the fire station and see how it works. But they just don't have that perspective that we do because they're not in it. So sometimes it's not always an understanding spouse on the other end.
Yeah, it's with us. It's typically, you know, we're just that way, unfortunately. Let me ask you guys, and again, we're going to kind of keep the pattern we have. There has been, in the fire service, and this is one of those subject matters that's come up. It kind of crops its head up every now and then, and I've been witness to it as a member of a large city department at one time. What is the feeling from three successful women in the fire service that are moving through the ranks, doing the job? From all my understandings, about the three of you having, you know, impeccable reputations, about a department that would lower or departments that lower their standards just to attract or to get more female firefighters onto the job. What is your opinion of that? And I'll start with Tammy on that. This is our instructor captain today.
So, like, thinking about this question, I actually get excited just because of some of those new things that we're doing here, like in the Valley. So I just like to start with kind of like what we require physically and kind of how that's changed how we hire. And I feel like we're actually hiring more females now than we, like, consistently than we were in the past. So just start, everybody obviously has to have a CPAT or the candidate physical agility test. I don't think that's, like, cream of the crop test, but I think it's something bare minimum that you have to have in place to at least have a testable pool of candidates. If you're successful in that, you get through your interviews, we invite you to like a practical assessment. So what that is, it's like a 2.5-day physical assessment center. And we can look at a whole bunch of different aspects of our candidates. So we look at attitude, teamwork, ability to take direction, ability to be in leadership roles. But I think what is extremely valuable is we put them in gear and we have them do things that they would be faced with during like a typical academy day. So I think it's a better picture of, say, firefighter fit. So, for example, we've had some really big, strong guys come through and pass their CPAT with no issues. And then during our assessment center, we put them in some gear, and they can't even complete a skills course or do more than a few events without kind of burning out. And then on the flip side, we've had girls come through, pass their CPAT with a respectable time, maybe not as fast, but then they're able to maneuver and manage in their gear. And so we're seeing more females able to showcase guts, more leadership roles in these scenarios. And so that being said, I don't agree with lowering the standards, but I think maybe thinking outside the box and allowing maybe like a bigger picture to be created would be beneficial. And since we started this program, we haven't had any of our recruits like wash out male or female out of any of our academies due to physicality or anything. So
I've not heard of that approach. Joe, have you ever heard that approach, the of what Tammy's talking about, the way they do with all their recruits?
No, I've not heard that approach. You know, we hire even like the physical I took that they don't even use anymore. I think my job just goes through a straight up CPAT and they do it that way. I know prior to testing and everything, they do offer free classes at the academy for all the physical stuff. They have people come out there and you can do the CPAT as often as you want and, you know, practice it and whatever. But what she's saying, no, I have not heard that.
Yeah, I think that's very unique, Tammy, and I applaud what you guys are doing. I think that's a, you know, whether it washes a male or female, if it gives somebody that perspective, it's definitely a different animal, you know, doing a CPAP versus, you know, full turnout gear, actually engaged in, you know, some of what we actually do. It's definitely a different perspective I've never heard of. Brittany, what are your thoughts, you know, especially being involved with something that can be as physically demanding as the Swiftwater things that go on just to get on Swiftwater? I know what the standards in Georgia are from a testing standpoint, but what are your feelings about, you know, the standards for females and if a department would lower their standards just to get more females into their ranks?
I think it's going to be a disservice to citizens, to the fellow firefighters that are already on the job, but most importantly to those women themselves, because, you know, the fire's not going to burn less hot, the water's not going to be any less turbulent just because that you're a female. And so it's going to put people at a disservice. And no matter how awesome a firefighter that female could be, if she's the biggest, baddest one around, it doesn't matter, her peers are going to, you know, lose respect, and she's going to lose credibility, even though she could have earned that just because she got hired under the umbrella of different standards. And, you know, I look at people that went before me, and, you know, I looked up to them. They worked hard to pass the physical, to train, to study for promotion, and it's just something to be respected. Like, if you earned it, you earned it, and that's all there is to it. There shouldn't be a different set of standards for anybody. It doesn't matter what the exception is, you know. Just because you're a female, it shouldn't matter. It should. Can you do the job or not? That's what it should come down to.
Great. And I love the line that you threw in there and the way you worded that about being a disservice both to the citizens and to their fellow firefighters, and I think that's it's definitely the right light to look at that. It shouldn't be about the numbers as much as, like you said, being able to do the job, no matter what your sex, race, or anything is. We should never do that. And, Karen, I mean, obviously coming up and police, you know, thinking about being a cop, thank you guys, you know, you stayed on the right track with the fire. But what are your thoughts about that?
I absolutely agree. Standards should not be lowered. If it was me and I was in recruit school or trying to get hired, and there, you know, you have all these people in front of you doing one thing, and they're like, oh, you only have to do half the amount of work or whatever it would be. One, that would be incredibly embarrassing. But two, you know, just as the other two girls were just saying, like, you would not gain and earn the respect, you know, that hopefully that you deserve. And so, I do wonder. I know Joe had just mentioned that the testing that FDNY is doing now is different than what he went through, and so I don't know if that is like an example of when standards are lowered, or is it more, where that's like the entire institution is lowering a standard, but that might be to make it more, if now they're doing CPAT versus just whatever, you know, the academy or the cadre had come up with at the time, it makes it more of a acceptable standard, since, you know, pretty much it seems like the whole country is using that as a hiring standard. If we're talking about like in training, you know, whether your recruit school is 4, 6, 8 months long, I can think of like examples or times, you know, when they're like, everyone do push-ups, and people one by one start to, fall out as they're getting tired. And so if it's, you know, an individual, like, you know, letting someone slip by, for not having to do as much work as somebody else in a circumstance like that, I think I don't think that should be allowed. But if we're talking about, you know, the CPAP in general, like an entire hiring standard, I would hope that if a department did, like, you know, quote unquote, lower the standard, it was just to make it, you know, a more acceptable type of process, rather than something outrageous, like we're not training Navy SEALs, you know.
Yeah, this is a question, Todd, that Karen and I went back and forth with for a long time talking about this, and we kind of thought about, like, my example, I got hired, it was like the CPAT, but harder, you know, same sort of stuff, more weight, longer on the treadmill, and so we went to the CPAT, and that's what we use now. So, yes, we lowered the standard, but if we made the standard more realistic for everyone, I don't see that as lowering the standard. I see that as a good thing because, yeah, I could do the harder physical when I was 23. I'm 36 now. Could I do it? Yeah, but I'm probably not going to be as good as it. But I know with the CPAT, I can still definitely do that, and I'm going to be just as good. So if we're lowering this, if lowering the standard, quote unquote, is making the standard more normal, then I'm kind of okay with that, if that makes sense.
I totally understand what you're saying, because I think CPAT is, you know, it's recognized nationally. I think the majority of departments, we didn't have it when I first came on with Atlanta. But as time went on, it was obvious to me that we had not just females, but male recruits that were not physically able to do certain things, but somehow their final recruit physical exam got done in a different room, and they always passed. And I always thought that, you know, when we were doing a disservice to our citizens and to our fellow firefighters when we allowed that to go on. And I'm not saying it goes on as often, but I think there's still those, you know, areas that we don't talk about and whisper about that we have lowered our standards at times, not every department. I am extremely excited to research and learn more about what Arizona and Tammy's department's doing about that. You really are prepping people for success, not just holding to just one little thing. You're giving them the opportunity to really learn the physicality of the job itself with what you guys are doing. I think that's just amazing. And it's a great idea. And I think every department should be looking to adopt more into that realm than just, we passed that, so let's keep on going. One of the other things that we had, that I really wanted to kind of hear from and directly from our guests this evening, what are some of the biggest challenges being a female on the fire department, whether, when you first started, and how the guys treated you, they treat you differently, and really the challenges you guys face and what you really want or what you really expect as a firefighter, a driver, a captain, a swift water, whatever the case is. And I'll start with Tammy on this one. What are some of the challenges you think that women in the fire service still face today, and what you expect from us as your counterparts in the fire station?
I have a couple ideas here, and I just so like coming on, I remember like being in the academy, like awkward gear fit for me was probably one of the most difficult things I had to overcome in the academy. Even now being down here, like one of our biggest challenges is finding gear that actually fits some of our really petite women. I think in my academy, my first pair of boots was like a size 12 men, and I'm out there trying to run and do hoses and all that. And I wear like a size 8, so like I feel their pain. I think fortunately for us, we have a female captain that oversees our entire PPE program here. She's phenomenal. She's relentless when it comes to searching for gear that fits better. So it's mm-hmm. awesome. She picks certain people, like all shapes, sizes, men, women, or whatever, to test new gear. And so I think it's definitely gotten better over the last like 10, 15 years, and I super appreciate that. But I think that definitely is one of the challenges. Something else that I think that I kind of struggle with a little bit is the homework life balance. For me, like not having kids yet, like I think there really is no good time to have a kid when you're a female in the fire service. Especially for me, kind of like the timing of my promotional exams, like different career opportunities that have come up. I know I've definitely made the choice to kind of put off having kids because I wanted to be successful in those areas. It kind of felt daunting to kind of take that much time away from the truck, like right when you feel like you're in the stride of your career, like risking being irrelevant or becoming rusty or just the perception of my peers of being off the truck for like an extended period of time and then trying to come back. Like whether it was perceived or real, like I feel like that was a struggle. But I see women do it. They do it and they kill it, and it's not something that's impossible, but I think it's just a different dynamic that we face that mm-hmm. men don't really ever have to think about.
Yeah, we take a few weeks off and then we're right back on the rig.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something to think about. And then maybe just a little thing I have here is like being under the magnifying glass. Again, whether perceived or reality, I think there's just a little bit more pressure, a little bit more eyes on. Not that it's always negative, but it's definitely something that I'm very aware of. I see it even just when I'm on the truck while we're training. I definitely see here down at the academy. Just a couple things I think that I see or struggle with. But I don't know.
And that'll be interesting. I heard I don't know who, but I heard somebody kind of laugh when you said that. So
That was Britt. That was me.
All right, go ahead. I want to hear your answer now.
Well, I just wanted to kind of say like an amen whenever she said that, because, when you walk into a new house, it's kind of like you have to work three times as hard to prove yourself. But I will say this for my guys, like once you prove yourself, they're loyal and, they accept you and bring you right on in. My crew has been awesome, and, they treat me no different other than, they probably treat me a little worse as far as, like, agitation goes because I'm a little sister, but other than that, they've been great. As far as, like, generic on the job, I would say it seems like a lot of the things, kind of like she was talking about before with the gear and stuff, there's a lot of things that are just cookie cutter, like how you force a door and how you, you know, have PPE fit and things like that. Everything's just really cookie cutter. And being able to think outside the box and use a female's body mechanics to her advantage, you know, I'm 5'5". I'm a little country kid from Scary, Texas. I'm not going to be able to mule kick a door in like a guy that's 6'5 and 250 pounds of pure muscle. It's just not going to happen. So you have to learn different techniques, and there's not a lot of people that teach that. And I was actually at a forcible entry class a few weeks ago, and bless her heart, there was this little girl that she had been on for maybe 2 months in a different department, and she was getting taught by these men on how, quote-unquote, men do things, right? And it was like she was just struggling. And so I walked up to the guy that was teaching it. I was like, hey, I'm not trying to overstep, but if you show her, he goes, look, I don't speak that. Just go talk to her. And I was like, okay. So talk to her for a little bit, and then it totally helped how, because we're just going to have to be a little bit different, work a little bit different. It's not wrong. It's just different, and get your body mechanics working for you. So that's physically, that's kind of just what I've seen. As far as, like, the attitude and acceptance, I guess, there's being at a specialty station, obviously there's a lot of alpha males, right? And so I've seen this, and it kind of relates more to, like, male ego than anything. And it's at all stations, I'm sure. But, for instance, if, like, a man is lazy and he's a piece of crap and he just wants to sit and watch Netflix all day and eat ice cream, and a hardworking guy comes in, you know, he's an alpha, he trains all the time, and he makes this lazy piece of crap look bad, he's like, he might talk bad about him a little bit. Instead of going out and, you know, improving himself, he's going to try to talk bad about him. He might not like him, but it's probably acceptable that there's going to be another male that's more alpha than you, right? But if a female does that and makes you look bad, oh, man, they just lose their minds. It's, like, completely unacceptable. And, you know, they go out of their way to, like, kind of, like, hate on them and bash on them. And it's like, come on, man. Like, just because they're doing their job doesn't mean that they're the enemy. Like, maybe you should, like, look internally at yourself. But that's kind of the biggest things I've seen. But for the most part, there's very few and far between. It's just a few pockets here and there, so.
It's, that's an interesting perspective about the male, our brothers, who will definitely take that approach sometimes. And it's funny you said that, because I've worked with a couple of alpha females that just ran circles around guys. And they were met with some guys were very, oh, they're just doing this to, you know, show off, or they don't really mean that. And, you know, it was a blow to their male ego is what, you know, how I always looked at it. So I think I love that you brought that perspective up there. Karen, I'm very curious about Karen's perspective. I know the department she's with is fairly active, and she's, you know, with a, you know, a true alpha male, FDNY, and all those type of things. So I'd be curious about your perspective about this, Karen.
Sure. I mean, Tammy and Brittany definitely echoed pretty much a lot of what I was going to say. I know from my personal experience that I can speak to, you know, that the other ones weren't able to, with pregnancy in the fire department, it definitely did. Tammy took the route of, you know, what the story that she told, whereas I went the other direction and I did have kids. I mean, I think I was on the job for maybe 5 years or so when I had, does that sound right? Yeah, about 5 years when I had my first kid. And it 100% delayed me promoting. Like I was on, when I promoted to technician, I was a firefighter for about 8 years at that point. And I had to wait that long because every time I was pregnant, and this includes some miscarriages as well as carrying, you know, two kids to full term, is, you know, I would be pulled out of the field. For the most part, I was always put at the training center. And so you have these, like, large chunks of time where you're not necessarily forgotten about, but you're not progressing, you know, in, you know, your skills. And I didn't even – it took a while just to learn how to drive, let alone promote to that spot because I was not in the field or allowed to do anything related to the fire engine at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not anything that's going to go away. You know, like that's always going to be a struggle for any woman coming on, because unless you decide to be pregnant while in the field, but then that just leads to even more gear fitting issues, like the other ladies that already touched on. I am, as for that, I'm tall. So I'm 5'9", and so I've not had anything like that. I know a lot of the smaller girls in my job, they wear, like, the salad bowl helmets rather than, like, you know, the like the traditional ones that you always see and the one that I wear and most of us wear. But the smaller girls prefer those little ones because they can look up and the bill on the back of the helmet doesn't hit their SCBA. I guess the small, I mean, which isn't an issue I've ever thought or had to deal with, but they actually find it a lot more comfortable to do that. If I was to give any advice to any girls out there. I know I was, like, very early on, like, my first assignment, I had an extremely type A, very, like, micromanager, strict captain, and he was actually the one who first started, like, letting me drive around town and stuff, like, not necessarily on calls, but, you know, like, your very beginnings of learning how to drive. And one of those days, I had an officer at a neighboring firehouse made a joke about how not only does he get to be driven around by me, but I can go home or back to the firehouse and bake him a cake. And it was just like sort of, you know, I think he was just trying to be funny. It's not like extremely offensive or anything, but it was definitely a comment that didn't need to be said. And he told me when I got back, he was like, he was going to go and follow up with that lieutenant and tell him he should not do that. That's not how you become, that's not how you are as a respectable officer. But he also told me I need to learn to stand up for myself and don't let anyone ever talk to me that way. And the next time it happens, if it ever was to, you need to shut it down immediately. And I took that to heart. And I definitely did that over the next year or two. And it wasn't often, because we do have Loudoun is an extremely progressive department. I mean, we have about 700 employees, and though only 40 or so are female, most of them would probably report to you they've not had hardly any issues at all, like being singled out, you know, as a female. And so I think, you know, nowadays, after I took that advice and, you know, I, you know, laid down the law whenever someone said something like that, I have had zero issues since. I think I would say I have a really good reputation. No one's going to, but at the same time, no one is going to mess with me in that way. Like when we have new people, I haven't had any females come on to my shift in a very long time. I have recently, over the last year, we've had 3 new guys straight out of the academy come to my shift. And like, I feel like those new guys are trying to prove themselves and their worth just as much as any girl that's going to be coming through. You know, like, I did not feel like I needed to do necessarily, like, 10 times more than any other guy. Like, I didn't – I felt like if I did what the guys did, they're going to see that I'm good enough and just like them, was my experience. Yeah.
What is something that – your male counterparts do or don't do that you just want to slap the shit out of us? Give me any example. I'll start with I'll start back with Karen with that one.
Besides baking a cake. I get this is going to sound so silly, and it's almost become this ongoing joke on the shift. But I constantly am being called fella or gentleman. I think that gets kind of old. Like, they'll just refer, whoever it is referring to the whole group of them. They're like, thanks, gentlemen. And, like, they just don't – I mean, you definitely want to be one of the guys, but I don't necessarily want to be called a dude every time, you know, they're referring to me. Yeah.
Okay. I'll remember that. So I don't ever call you dude or anything. How about for you, Brittany?
Probably the only thing that really frustrates me, it's probably my personality more than anything, is just, like, it's one thing to be lazy around the firehouse, but it's another thing to be that lazy person that just as you're stuffing your mouth with Cheetos, watching Netflix, just griping and complaining about someone else trying to better themselves, or every time we have to go out and train, just whining about it. And, like, you know, a lot of times those are the same people that have, like, all these pictures on Facebook and all these cool, awesome pictures, and look at me, I'm an awesome firefighter. And, like, my dad told me this one time, a lion doesn't ever have to tell you it's a lion. You just know by looking at it and how they carry themselves, right? And so it's just one of those things that stuck with me. It's like, okay, how someone is, just by watching them long enough. And, you know, pride is one of those things that's gender neutral. It doesn't matter if it's a male or female, so this can kind of go for both genders. If you have pride in your job, and pride is gender neutral, but also the opposite is true, too, as far as, you know, laziness and just being complacent. So I guess that's kind of my big pet peeve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about for you, Tammy? Something that we need to stop doing or do a better job or, you know, those kind of things.
Like, the way I kind of look at this is, like, what I appreciate is, like, not being treated like a girl. Like, I guess I came at it from that angle. Like, I feel very fortunate for where I work. I feel like we're very supportive of the women in our department. And, like, I appreciate it when the first thing that noticed about me isn't that, like, oh, we have a girl in our truck today, or, mm-hmm. oh, we can't make jokes today because there's a girl in our truck, or we can't say that. Like, I appreciate when they just, like, they don't, it's not a gender thing. It's just a firefighter thing. So we can still joke and have fun and, like, still talk about the same stuff and laugh about the same things. And or even just if we're on a fire ground, if we're training, like, letting me pull my weight. So sometimes I'll see, like, guys want to, like, jump in and, like, maybe take over something if a girl's, like, struggling just a little bit or she's doing it a little bit differently. But, like, I appreciate it when they kind of let me do my thing and let me do my job without feeling like they need to step in and, like, try to help, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And I think that is a little bit gender related where, you know, as males, we feel like we have to help and, you know, because we're doing that in our homes and in our relationships a lot of times that, you know, hey, I can't lift this. Oh, don't worry about it. I got it. You know, and I think that sometimes can carry over, even though you're wearing the same exact uniform and gear I am. I've seen men do that to, you know, female firefighters. I was always kind of like the exact opposite and, like, you know, they'll figure it out. Just like every rookie, male or female, they'll figure the shit out.
Mm-hmm.
But we also got to give that firefighter, you know, the time and respect to do so. But I don't want to get too far off here, but I want to ask Anthony real quick, in your dealings in your organization, because, you know, your organization's, you know, obviously different than where I came up and where Joe's at. Some of the challenges that maybe you have faced as a boss having female firefighters on your job, Anthony.
Well, I think for me it was like when I got promoted, I immediately had a female on my crew when I made captain and all that, but I've been around females in my job my whole career. And when I volunteered, when I started out volunteering, we had a female in the volunteers. And then when I hired in, one of my training captains was a female. When I came out, I went to one station for about 8 months, and then I moved down to where I've spent my whole career. And we had a female on that crew. When I got promoted to driver, we have to get moved. So I moved. I went out to the west side of the city for like 8 months before I came back to where I'm still at. And I worked for a female boss there and had another female on the crew. So when I got promoted, I was pretty used to it already, I guess, to say, I like being around, you know, females in the firehouse and females on our crew. And it happened to be that the female on the crew when I first got promoted to captain was the same female I worked with when I was a firefighter. So kind of already knew. It wasn't like, you know, anything different. It wasn't anything special. I just treated her, you know, the way I would anyone else. I think that's the big thing about it, is treat people as individuals. And it doesn't really matter if it's male or female. If they do the job good, if they don't, then you probably don't want to work with that person. That's not going to really change if it's male or female. I got guys on the job I probably don't want to make a fire with on the truck, and there's females on the job I probably don't want to make a fire with on the truck. I mean, it comes down to individuals. And I mean, if you give everyone the chance and you judge them based on them and not, you know, based on something that, you know, male, female, anything else, judge them on their character, their individual. If they show up and they're doing their part, treat them as that person that's doing their part, male or female. If they're not, then deal with that issue the same way you would male or female. It doesn't really matter. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be as hard on a female as I am a male if they're not doing their job, and I'm going to give them as much, you know, praise. And you got the nozzle today. If you're, doesn't really matter if you're doing, you know, if you're doing your part, then you're going to get, you know, the same amount of praise for it as you would if you were a guy. So it wasn't really a big deal to me, I guess, because I was used to it, because I had worked around females my whole career in my job. And I guess it did make it a little easier that I knew that person. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we'd spent a few years on the same crew, and then she made driver and went to that, the station that I ended up going to as a captain. So she was there when I got there, but we'd worked together for years already. So we knew each other. She already knew my wife and everything like that. So, I mean, like, we'd been on the same crew for years, so it wasn't really a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, we already knew each other. We've already worked with each other. So it made it easy, because it wasn't like a, you know, got to feel each other out kind of thing that I actually had to do with some of the guys, because some of the guys on that crew I'd worked with before, and some of them were new guys that had been there a couple months, and their boss had gone to the training staff, and I took that spot, and I'd never worked with them before, never even heard of them. So I had to feel them out, and, you know, the same way I would, male or female. But I already had that established, you know, there. But going to some of the things they've kind of talked about, I think the biggest thing I've seen, me personally, is that, and I don't think it's meant, you know, by guys as, like, to be disrespectful or anything, but we tend to get pretty protective. Like, I know for, you know, a lot of times we get on calls in certain neighborhoods and things would get kind of, you know, the environment would kind of change on that call on you, and things would start going, and people would start talking to you a certain way. And when they talked to one of the guys a certain way, it was like, man, handle that. But when they talked to one of the females that way, every dude on the truck got real defensive real quick, like they were protecting their little sister. Now, I don't think that's meant, you know, disrespectfully. It's just their natural instinct to step in. But that's definitely something when we were talking about this podcast that immediately came to mind, was that we were always very protective of any female on the crew when we got on calls and we got out in the street and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think, again, it kind of goes that human nature of looking at. But I think I've looked out for, you know, male firefighters, female that sense. And it kind of reminded me of something. I made a little note of this. It was something that I forget exactly who said it. You know, when Brett was talking about the forceful entry, what is your – and I know this isn't on our list, but it made me think of this question – do we, and I'll ask Tammy this, do you think we need more female firefighters, especially when we have females in our recruit classes, as part of our instructor cadres, to be able to show those body mechanics and things that, you know, like you said, a 6'5" guy's kicking in the door where, you know, I was training a young lady years ago who was, I think Kaylee weighed like 105, and she was, you know, this little bitty thing and had the heart of a lion, but the techniques they were showing her were not going to work. And we would spend, you know, an hour plus after every class, and we would find ways that she could use both muscle strength and body mechanics to actually, you know, do the drill or close the hose clamp or force the door. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, you know, Tammy being in recruit training, do you think that's something that departments need to look at ensuring that we're bringing female firefighters on as instructors?
I think so. Like, just being down here, just from my experience, being able to be a recruit training officer, we have 7 females in this class. And a lot of times they do, like a lot of the RTOs will get that. We have a female recruit that's struggling with a technique or something. They'll ask me, like, well, how do you do it? Like, what's something that would work for you? Or, and I think it's good for other women to see women in those positions. And that's something that, like, coming up through my department, seeing women in different positions and different ranks and all that, like, gives you, like, helps you visualize that better, too, to be able to, like, see yourself in that role. But yeah, I think, and I thought about this, like, if I would have had a female RTO when I was in academy, I think that would have been a huge asset, just like for what you're talking about. Just one size doesn't necessarily fit all on technique
right.
and using your body weight and your mechanics. And so absolutely, I think it'd be a huge benefit.
Yeah, and I think that's it's something that, you know, I've seen in my old organization where they would kind of occasionally put a woman out at the training facility, but they weren't there for the right reasons. They were just almost like a plug and play. Yeah, I just put her out there for a while. And I think that we need more true instructors, female instructors, you know, out there and, you know, knowing you. And there's some other ones out there that I know personally that are just outstanding, both as instructors and as firefighters. And I think that sends a really strong message when we have females teaching as well as, you know, just not just doing the job or, you know, promoting up, but actually out there sharing the message, not just about being a female firefighter, but, you know, just being a damn firefighter in general sometimes. And that really, this is a interesting question, and, you know, hopefully – won't make you too uncomfortable on that next question. Cause I know what, you know, has bugged me about some of the females I've worked with. But I want to know what bugs you as a female firefighter representing a very small number in a male-dominant profession. What are some things some of your female counterparts have done or you've witnessed or heard of that makes you want to strangle them in return for some things they do that can actually hurt females in the fire service? And also, let me start with Karen on that.
So there's actually not too much that bothers me. I think most, because we're all sort of in the same position, like trying to prove ourselves, you know, trying to gain that respect. So I, for at least in my world, not too many of the women are doing dumb things. However, if I was to, you know, give advice, I would certainly, like, you want to be seen as an equal. I mean, though you still want, you know, you're a woman and you still want to maintain some level of femininity. You don't, I would advise someone to not be extremely flirtatious with a bunch of people. And I don't know if, like, you know, even if that's, like, outside of work, like, if the crew goes out, you know, for a couple of drinks after the shift or whatever it might be. I think, that can lead to whether you do anything or not, that's going to tarnish your reputation. That's just, like, I think the whole, you know, world or the whole United States is going through this big change, but there's still this level of, you know, there's still lots of people thinking that if a man was to sleep around, they get high fives, but in return, if a woman was, it's considered, you know, a terrible thing. And so just until our culture as a whole changes that sort of opinion, it could not necessarily harm you at work, but, you know, you're going to have some people look at you in a way you don't want.
Okay. All right. Brittany.
So we're such a small percentage. It's hard and, you know, they shouldn't do it, but we all do it kind of thing. It's hard for all of this not to get judged by the actions of a few. And so it's almost like female firefighters I've seen and experienced, and that they're a lot harder on other females because they are kind of representing them. And, you know, there's a chief in my department. I love her to death. Look up to her. Her biggest thing was, you know, she wanted to be treated as an equal, but not one of the boys. And that just kind of stuck with me. And her biggest thing was, like, need to be consistent. And so, you know, work hard, stay humble, keep your head down, and, you know, don't be one of these females that sleeps around. You're not there to sleep around with all your coworkers. You know, you shouldn't go into work expecting special treatment. And granted, yes, they're going to have to make accommodations, but understand, like, you're walking into a house, essentially, when you walk into a firehouse. and you're basically walking into a bachelor pad, and there's going to be, they're already going to have to make changes, you know, because you're there, as far as the shower schedule and how they operate in general. So be a little bit gracious with that. Some people just come in and demanding stuff, and I don't appreciate that, because not all of us are like that. Also being consistent, like, there was one female I know of that, you know, she wanted to be one of the boys. She participated in all the course joking and all that kind of stuff until someone said something that she didn't like, and she wanted to file a complaint on him. And so it's just one of those things. Be consistent, and, you know, my dad just kind of helped teach me that if you don't even go down that road, then it's never an issue. So there's just certain things I'm not going to talk about. I don't get offended by it, but I'm not going to talk to you about it, and I might walk off or whatever. It's not an issue. I don't get upset. I don't get angry. If you do cross that line, I'll let you know, but as long as you don't toe that line again, I don't get upset. But some females make it a big issue and want to file complaints on everyone. And then there's just, like, the whining. I don't know why this is, like, such a big issue, but just, for instance, more recently, we just had a round of promotional exams. There was a girl that didn't do well on my department, and she posted, like, this six-minute-long video on Instagram of, like, basically her crying into a camera. And at first I got really angry, and I got really upset, and I was like, that's an embarrassment for female firefighters everywhere, and I can't believe someone in this department would do that. And then I kind of sat back and thought about it, and I was like, you know what, I actually feel bad for her. And I'm actually debating on, because this recently happened, on reaching out to her still, and I'm still torn about it, just because there's no one in her tight circle that's taught her that that's not a respectable thing to do. And she doesn't have that. I have people in my circle that if, you know, I would have done that, they would knock me upside the head and be like, hey, let's take that down. That doesn't look good on you or anybody else. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. You take it a little more personally because it does affect how you're perceived when people don't know you and they are introduced to you for the first time. So,
interesting. Okay. And Tammy?
Kind of piggybacking off what Brittany said, like, just, I see, not, it's not frequent, but just sometimes if you see females that do want to be treated differently because they're a female, but not necessarily for the right reason. There's like two different mindsets that I kind of see. There's the girl that, I don't know how to explain it, like the lion mentality or like the fighter mentality where it's like, I'm going to do this job. I'm going to be just as good. Like, I don't want anybody to question whether I can do it. And then maybe there's this other mentality where they're so fearful of being judged or failing that they choose the easy way out, like to ensure that they're successful. Does that make sense? Like, they'll pick the easiest position on, like, a training spot, or they'll pick the lightest weight on purpose, or – so that looks like it appears like they're being successful, but not fully. So, like, mm-hmm. I sometimes, like, that just, like, I appreciate the first mentality, I guess. If I had to choose one, like, something that is
okay.
A key. Like, don't take the easy way out. Like, do it the hard way the first time, and if you fail, then you learn from it, and then just keep trying. Like, don't short yourself, I guess.
And it, you guys all kind of in different ways touched on some of the things that I've seen, been a part of, unfortunate and fortunate, I guess, from a learning standpoint, where I kind of call it, you can call it exactly what it is, where that I'm going to file a complaint against you, and it really does. It's amazing how, because of the minority of women in the fire service, that one complaint, how your male counterparts start associating, well, if you say this, she's going to file a complaint. And it's not, you know, that particular firefighter, they start lumping you guys together sometimes, that all females are going to file complaints against you. If you do this, they're going to file a complaint against you. If you say this, they're going to file a complaint against you. And it's a really hard reputation to get off of you once you get that rep. And, you know, Atlanta, I've seen every There is not an aspect on the female side of my job that I have not seen, from sleeping there, you know, sleeping around with everybody they could, to taking the easy position to get ranked, to the hardcore, incredible. I would go into any fire in the world with them. So I've seen every aspect. Worked with, promoted with, studied with female firefighters, and I've had to fire a female firefighter when I was over recruit training. And that's immediately what happened. Lawsuits were filed against us, including myself, and it all came down to I was a female, that's why I was fired. And that had nothing to do with her termination whatsoever. So it's odd that you guys would, you know, it's not odd, but it's very commonplace. And I think, you know, and again, my opinion, having females in the recruit side of training and having, I don't want to say counseling, but one advantage for a 20-year-old female coming on the job to have a senior female firefighter able to kind of, I think Brittany was even kind of hinting at that, you know, somebody in the inner circle to say, here's how you're successful. Because this is how I was successful. I think you ought to reach out to that person, by the way, Brett. I think that she needs somebody like you to reach out and, you know, kind of explain how that looks.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you every guy on your job should see that video.
I just struggle with how sometimes it'd be received, you know, on certain things. And I've counseled other people about it, and they're like, well, so it's still in the works.
Well, I'm glad that it's something you're thinking about and considering doing. That and one thing, and I think this is kind of a cool segue from an organizational, small, medium, large, big city to small town. What do you think departments can do? And I think departments throughout this country, not all of them, but there's a lot of departments struggling with attracting any applicants right now to a certain degree. But what can departments do to make the fire service attractive to female firefighters again and get females to come on board and be successful in their careers like all of you guys have, and how, you know, a lot of the women I know throughout the country and in the fire service have been extremely successful. But what do you guys think is the way departments could kind of start that? And Karen, let's ask you that first. How do you think departments could do a better job of recruiting, retaining, and getting more women into the job again?
Loudoun, over the last probably 5 years or so, has done a really good job at getting booths and such at the local like high school job fairs. And we always make sure to have a female, you know, in the group of people manning the booth. And it seems to me that we are having more females apply than they used to. I think that's been quite successful. If I had to come up with something like a new strategy, something creative, I would definitely have them, this with Loudoun, we have a very large budget. And so I feel like some people have said Loudoun has more money than God. And so I don't know if some of my ideas are, I don't know how realistic they are for, you know, for everybody. But I think advertising in places that promote females and fitness, so maybe hanging up a bunch of flyers in like yoga studios or maybe even just CrossFit gyms and such like that, I think you would be reaching a group of people that probably may not have necessarily thought of the fire service as a career for them. If, you know what I mean? I don't know how often, like, nobody's asking a little girl, do you want to be a firefighter? You know, it's like, do you want to be a teacher or a mom? Or is so having, you know, just getting the ideas out there to, you know, those who wouldn't have necessarily thought about it could make a big step.
I think that's I've never thought of an idea like that. I think that's a fan. You need to take that up the chain. I think that's a great idea.
Thanks.
And it's not even, it wouldn't even be that expensive to do posters like that.
That's true.
So, yeah, you need to get on that shit. You let me know how that goes. Send me a picture of you. I want to see the picture of the poster of you on the spot. You need to be the female firefighter on there behind the rig and all that. That'd be cool shit to see.
Oh, my gosh. So I'll let you know when that happens.
Your idea. You might as well take it all the way. How about for you, Tammy? I think what you guys are already doing is pretty cool, but how to get them to even, put their application in? How do you think how can we do a better job in the fire service of promoting ourselves to female firefighters and getting them on board?
I know something that was super helpful for me is we have like a cadet mentor program. So as soon as you turn 18 and you get your EMT, you can kind of start volunteering and riding along with our department. It's not necessarily specific to females or males, but or specifically females. It's for anybody that wants to do it. But you get like a mentor. We give you turnout gear, like some grinder gear that you can work out in. I think for me, like I was able to come into this department, like meet the people here. I was able to be like groomed. They coached me, kind of like what a career in the fire service looks like how to be successful. Give you like exposure to the department, like in a safe way. I feel like this, like having that opportunity to kind of see what this department was, and also for them to get to know me, because I mean, it's not a secret. Like there is a specific number of females that have to be hired, right? There's like a minimum number usually that departments are trying to hire. So I've seen some departments who weren't necessarily as female friendly, who didn't do this. They didn't coach, or if like a female were to come to ride at the fire station, they would all go to their rooms or like kind of shun. But I think if you take the time to kind of mentor and coach, you attract like a different caliber of female, if that makes sense. Like this, where I work now in Glendale, I specifically tested here because of the reputation that we have. Like our nickname used to be Girldale, because we have a high percentage of females here, and we have some pretty badass who work in our department. So I think just putting that time in and investing in on the front end kind of will attract a better caliber and more females, I think.
Very, that's interesting. I like that concept of the mentoring and the introduction into the job early. I think it's huge, both male and female. But I think that's a cool way to look at it as well. How about for you, Brett? What's an idea or something you may have that somebody may want to look into or try?
Well, I have a whole 5 minutes on the job, so I don't have a whole lot of experience. So I don't have a whole lot of experience overall, much less, as far as ideas with that. I do know, for me, it was one of those things that I never even considered, and I grew up in the firehouse. I rode out with my dad all the time as a child, and, he actually, brought me along on a few calls and things like that. So I saw it, but it was never something that I thought about in the spectrum as an option for me. The few people that I'm close to, I've actually gotten to apply, like my best friend and one of my cousins, they're females. It's basically been like word of mouth of like, hey, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it too. And, just talking them through that. As far as like community outreach programs, my department actually has a pretty good program. Unfortunately, it's like limited to this city. It's called Camp Ladder, and don't ask me what Ladder stands for, but it's something to do with females. Anyways, basically it's a camp for high school girls, and they come through like an overnight stay at the academy. They get to bunk out. They get to deploy a charge hose line. They get to go through a simulated like PT. Obviously, it's not a full versus school PT. Just kind of see what it's about, talk about the fire service, learn about the fire service, just kind of get exposed to it. And I think that's a really good outreach program that we have. Chief Barry actually heads that up, and she does a very good job of that. So that's an option, too. We also have the Explorer program, kind of the same thing. It's for the Boy Scouts of America, I believe. And do the same thing. They can do ride-outs with us once a month. They have their own trainings at the drill tower. They get their own turnout gear, and they just kind of get exposed to it as well. And that's for males and females. So as long as you're under, I think, the age of 21, you can do that. So
very cool. And I think there are departments. I know Landa's does that, you know, like an old ladies kind of camp thing, introduction. My only issue with some of those programs is just not enough follow through. I don't think one day is enough. I like the more the mentoring thing. The ride along I think is a huge thing, and you know, not just for, you know, hey, come ride two calls and go home, but you know, doing a full shift is can be an eye opener for both men and women in some cases, especially if you put them all in a super busy rig for the 24 and they find out real quick if it's for them. That's how my daughter found out it wasn't for her after she did a 24 with me and spent about 4 hours overhauling an apartment fire. She was done with that idea real quick. She found out that she liked her fingernails and clean hair and not cleaning toilets and all those things. So didn't try to discourage her. I just wanted her to know exactly what she was getting into. So it was good. I'm glad she got that experience and was able to make an educated decision about the career versus just jumping in and finding out down a long road. So let me ask you guys this. Your opinion, Tammy's opinion, Britt's opinion, Karen's opinion, your best advice, what would be I'm a brand-new female in your job, your best advice to that female firefighter coming into the fire service, whether it's your job or just into the service itself? And let me start with Tammy on that one.
All right. I got two pieces. So one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give is really, really get to know the department that you're testing for. I feel like you're interviewing them as well. Find out what their culture is on training, customer service, whether that's internal, external. What does their growth look like? What kind of opportunities can they offer you? That's going to make a huge difference. So go where there are like-minded people like you and like-minded visions. I rode with a bunch of different departments, and I could tell pretty quick whether or not I was going to fit in. Second, don't ever give up on your passion. I can remember so vividly how badly I wanted this job and how passionately I applied myself, and you deserve it just as much as anyone else does. You're going to get discouraged, and you're going to have failures, and there's definitely going to be people who tell you that you can't do it, but just keep pushing. I can tell you that this career is honestly the best thing that has ever happened to me. The confidence, the brother sisterhood, the education, the courage, the stability, life experience that this job has afforded me, I'm forever grateful for that. This profession needs more strong, determined, and savage women. There's a girl in our academy right now. She's super tiny, but man, she's full of heart. She's savage, pure heart, and it's inspiring to see. In my experiences that I've had, I feel like women are the ones that seriously carry the biggest no quit. And on her way out, we had a deputy chief, Chief Edding. She's awesome. She's one of the first females in our department history. And she told me, don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't do something. You earned your way here, and no one can take that from you. And if they tell you anything different, you just smile and you do it better than they can. So I still take that to heart, and I think that's awesome advice.
Yeah, I think that's not just good advice for a female. I think that's good advice for everybody. That's solid right there. Karen, best advice.
Best advice. You definitely want to come into, the firefighter role with a level of confidence and self-assurance. You don't want to let anybody walk over you. You need to make sure that you always stand up for yourself. And I would say don't become stagnant. Like, continue to train. Like, don't just get hired, get past the hard stuff of, your academy, and then float along. Like, constantly be trying to better yourself. Take classes. Take classes with Todd, Anthony, and Joe. do what you can. Like, they're, you're going to be in the department for 20, 30 years, and there's countless roles that you can take on. Like, don't be afraid to try new things. Work if you want to be in a leadership role, like work on going through the promotion process, and just constantly keep learning. Everyone, like, that'll not only help you, everyone else will appreciate you doing that, and it'll help your community.
out to say, man, that really that's really good. Brittany, best advice.
Best advice for women coming into it: find resources, find women that are on the job, people that you respect, or just people in the job in general, on resources, on someone you can reach out to if you come into a tough situation, or hey, how do I become successful? There's all these, you know, other resources, Facebook groups, things like that for female firefighters. Obviously, you can ask other people there, but they're not going to have the same temperature at their department as the one that you're trying to apply for, so just be mindful of that. There's also, like, I know on our department, Lieutenant Murray, John Murray, wrote the rookie book. That was a good resource for me, just something to kind of go through, like, what's expected as a rookie coming into it. And it was just a full-blown book. It had, like, recipes and everything if you didn't know how to cook. So it was just one of those, like, go-tos. Yeah, let your actions speak for you. And I think that's critical for not just females, but for anybody. Just let your work speak for itself. You have 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. And, you know, keep it classy. You're a professional. You need to make sure you maintain that status and act like it. And, you know, stay humble, work hard. It's a very hard job. It's a very tough job. It can be very trying at times, but it's also very rewarding. So I would say it's the best job on earth. It doesn't come without its challenges, but anyone can do it. You're going to doubt yourself. Lord knows. There were days I drove home in my car coming home from rookie school, just bawling my eyes out because I was like, I messed up. This was a big mistake. I should have never done this. And then, you know, luckily I had a good classmate, my dad, a good academy instructor, and they all just kind of taught me out of that funk and, you know, helped kind of carry me through those times. So very rewarding job. Definitely the best job in the world.
Yeah, I think I know Joe feels that way, and you know, I do, and Anthony does, and I think no doubt in my mind the three of you do. That, and before I do my final question, I wanted to ask you guys, I wanted to ask this, I think this is, and I don't know the answer to this, and maybe you guys could help me. When I'm teaching, and I think Anthony and Joe said the same thing, one of the things that I've noticed, obviously, Britt, we were down in Texas together, and then, you know, meeting Tammy there in Pensacola recently, and Karen was with us in Alabama for a thing. I noticed that we don't see, and you guys just all three kind of mentioned this about learning and everything, I do not see a lot of female firefighters at conferences. And I don't know what if it's us. Is it a comfort level because there's 300, you know, males there all, you know, look at me, I can break the door down? Or how can we get more females to do exactly what you just said, to keep learning and keep training and go to these classes? How can we do a better job as instructors, you know, throughout the country to get more female firefighters to attend these things? What do you think, Karen? I mean, I know, you know, of course, I met all three of you at different conferences and stuff, but how can we get more of your counterparts?
I think departments as a whole could do a better job of trying to promote their women to take these classes. I don't know how many people, like their departments, pay for them to attend or if it's out of their own pocket, but I think if they are trying to get women to, you know, further their education and the job, they need to, put it out, like we have openings for 3 females and 3 males to go to this class who wants in, and see if, you know, if a girl's having discomfort because she doesn't want to be the only girl in a room full of, you know, all these dudes, like guys that she's never met before. I think having a familiar face with you would go a long way in getting them to sign up. I haven't done it in a few years, but I have gone to a conference that was meant for female firefighters. It was in Fairfax County, and then eventually it was tacked on with FDIC when they last did it. What was that, 2 years ago? It was because of COVID. But it's the iWomen's Conference, and I did, when it was local to where I am, I did attend it, and I thought that was a fabulous conference. Like, all the classes were tailored to, like, women's strengths. So I took a ladders class, and it was taught by a girl from Denver and another one from Aurora Fire Department, you know, and they went over, like, body mechanics. You know, like a man, most men can easily muscle a ladder up, you know, over and over and over all day long. However, for women, like, their strongest muscles are going to be, like, their legs and their glutes. So why aren't we teaching girls how to throw ladders, you know, with oomph from the bottom rather than the top?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, you know, women knowing that, like, why would I go take a forcible entry class if all they're going to be doing is showing me something that I'm not going to be, you know, necessarily successful at? I don't know if that's the mindset these girls or these women are having. But I think, I guess, to have departments send women, I would try to urge them to send them in groups rather than just individuals. I think you might have a higher success rate in attendance.
Yeah, it's not just the hands-on, but, I mean, even lecture-based type of programs. I just do not see a lot of our female firefighters at these. And I met Tammy, you know, just recently at Pensacola Beach. And I think if you kind of recall looking around that, you know, there's, you know, 300-plus firefighters in this room, and there's Tammy. And maybe, what do you want to guess, Tammy? Two other women in the room that were firefighters?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
So how do we do a better job? I think what Karen's saying is definitely on point.
Yeah,
no,
I do wonder,
honestly,
if the numbers you're seeing is reflecting, you know, the numbers in, like, the fire service as a whole. Like, in the... For career females across the United States, it's only 4% are female if you can do, you know, add up all the departments that we have. So I wonder if what you're seeing is a reflection of what's actually out there.
I think definitely that's part of it. There's no doubt. But I also know that there's, you know, there's a strong consistency of women in the fire service that are, you know, definitely need the same education that I want. And want to get, and, you know, promoting that, I think, is huge. And, you know, kind of going, you know, Tammy, you know, just being there in Pensacola with us recently, what are your thoughts about how to get, you know, I love the idea of sending more than one female together so they're not rooming with three guys. Three guys in a hotel room is a disgust. I'm disgusted by it, so I can't imagine.
Oh, that's funny. I literally, up until the last couple years, like, I didn't know that this stuff existed. So, like, my part of this little country over here, like, my little bubble, like, there's a small group of people who are going to conferences. And it's starting to catch on. It's starting to get more and more. But I just think for a long time that wasn't, like, a thing here. Like, it was not widely done. And so I think a lot of it's budget. Like, I know, just for speaking from my experience, we don't have a lot of extra money to pay for people to go. So if I go to conferences, it's all on my own time. So I know a lot of people struggle with that, like trying to get time off work or kind of pay for that if you have family and all that stuff. But that's something that since I've experienced the conferences and, like, what's out there and just, like, such good education is, like, I push that now to my crews, my recruits, like, invest in yourself. Even if you put one a year, like, you'll never regret it. Like, it's so valuable just to get out there and, like, see what else is out there and be able to bring that information back to your department, or even, I mean, just for yourself. It's pretty incredible. So
yeah,
I think just word of mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things that we need to do, you know, in all the fire service, not just the education of, you know, getting a chance to hear an Anthony Rowett speak or hear a Mike Champo speak or teach a hands-on portion of a class, but it's those after-hours networking where you're getting ready, you know, getting to meet firefighters from all over the country, you know, from Arizona and, you know, Virginia and Texas and those things. It's one of those things, if you guys are trying to sell it to other firefighters, whether it's male or female, that those relationships that you end up establishing and building are just as valuable as the, you know, what you're learning. And I think that's a huge factor. What about for Britt, what do you think? Is it something we're not doing to promote that better ourselves to get more females to come to conferences, or what are your thoughts on that? I met you at a conference as well.
Well, I think you have to look at what's inside that female. I mean, obviously everyone has different reasons, right? Some people are single moms and they can't get away from their children, you know, and they have responsibilities that outweigh that. And so I understand that, but you also have to look at the factors, and this is just my personal opinion, again, with 5 minutes on. I feel like females in general are going to be more timid and less likely to make that leap of doing something that's like outside their comfort zone. And, you know, everyone remembers how intimidating it is when you walk in the fire station for the first time or you walk into the academy. It's just uncomfortable. And so it depends on how bad do you want. How bad do you want to better yourself? How bad do you want to improve? Are you going to go find that person that you admire or you like how they carry themselves and you want to learn from them? Are you going to be able to step up and say, hey, teach me that? Or can you show me how you did that? I sometimes feel like women in general are less likely to step up and ask those questions from someone that they don't know. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, forceful entry class, this little girl just came up to me out of nowhere and just introduced herself. I was like, oh, hey, you know, new friend. But I just feel like us in general, we're less likely than guys. Guys are a lot more laid back, relaxed. They don't really care. Oh, hey, you don't want to talk to me? That's cool. I'll go over here and find a new friend. But whereas females, we kind of have a tendency to think about things too much and overanalyze on some of that, where it's like, oh, I don't know, they might not like me, I might be bugging them. And you just got to put that aside. And you know what? I need to do this to make myself better. And that's not just in the fire service, that's in everything. You know, hey, I need to know that. I'm going to go find out. And however you need to go do that, then go for it. Find a way to make yourself better. Put those uncomfortable feelings aside and go find it. Go get that information. Go get that knowledge.
Awesome. And I'll ask all three of you during your travels and within your own organizations and things like that to kind of relay that information and share that, share those experiences that you've had, and how was your overall experience in Pensacola, Tammy?
It was awesome. I loved it. I've been wanting to go to HROC for like 2-3 years, so I was super excited to be able to go this year.
Good. And
so, yeah, it was just,
for Brittany, we didn't have a hands on, but there was actually another female firefighter in that, it was a smaller conference, obviously, but what was your overall opinion of doing something like that?
Man, I always love those. I always walk away learning so much. Those classes are always so informational. Even if it's not something that's feasible for your department to do, the way that you handle things, the tactics and things like that, it's always something that's definitely good to keep in your back pocket for, you know, whatever reason, just to see how the rest of the world does it. Because a lot of times you get hired on in a fire department and it's like, oh, this is the way we do things and this is how we always done it. And you need to see what else is out there. There's a big world.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, and hopefully, we'll see more female firefighters stepping up out there and the conference that Karen mentioned, that's phenomenal to offer that. And that's something I'm definitely going to research and some of the things that all of us are doing that, we need to be conscious of too, to hopefully make things where, our female sisters will come out and participate, because what a learning experience is for the male firefighters to work side by side. And like I was telling some of you guys earlier before we came on air, that I literally have worked with guys in my job that had never worked with a female firefighter, never even thought females were on the job or why were they on the job until they, had to learn, the experience of working side by side and living with a female in a fire station. So I think it's a great opportunity to expand everybody's horizons. Anthony, you know, you're out and about all over the place all the time, and what do you have any advice or any way we could attract more female firefighters into the training realm and instructor realm and class realm?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Todd. Like, it's something I've noticed, but don't really have an answer for, because I can't really give, you know, their opinion or what, you know, what's drawing them to, you know, some to it and some not. And I think maybe Karen had a good point, though, too, of obviously the numbers are going to be less just based on there's less females in the fire service than males. But it's definitely something I've noticed when we're at conferences, big and small, that it's a drastic difference in the ratio of men to females at the classes themselves, both lecture and hands-on, like you said.
Yeah,
but I don't know that I have a solution to it.
Notes already, just of this very, you know, brief topic that, you know, you guys made me think about that. So hopefully we can encourage that and do more with that. So this is the last question of the evening for our guests. And let me start with Tammy here. And beyond, I mean, and I always laugh when I do this a lot when I'm teaching officer development. I ask the students, you know, wherever I'm teaching that, the same question. And, you know, usually I get a roundabout answer. So directly to the point, what is your career goal? And I'll start with Tammy.
Career goal, I want to be the next lead RTO. I think that'd be awesome.
Okay.
Be the face of East Regional Academy, and then definitely have aspirations to test for chief battalion or deputy. So, yeah.
Oh, or deputy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or deputy.
Very good. Brittany.
I would love to promote up to at least a captain or a battalion chief. I think that would be very rewarding, tough, but very rewarding as well. And then also on the special ops side, continue with the whole Swift Water thing and see what all I can accomplish through, you know, the whole task force thing and continue with the water rescue team.
Very cool. And Karen?
When I was in my interview to get hired, we had a panel interview of the chief of department and a bunch of battalion chiefs. And the chief of department asked me, where do I see myself going with Loudoun County? And I, like, looked him dead in the eyes, and I was like, well, I want your job. and I think that is still true. Like, I hope to – I mean, I've only promoted once, but I have a long time to go before I retire, and I want to be the boss. Yeah,
awesome.
And then who knows where we'll go from there. Yeah, I tell Joe, I joke with him, I was like, I'm going to be in Congress one day. I'm going to be making the laws, you'll see. So we'll see.
I like that.
Yeah, I can feel myself blushing as I say this, but I think it's honesty is the best thing here.
I love that.
And people actually remember her interview because even I, like, we were at the Virginia Fire Chiefs Conference I was teaching down there, and one of the chiefs actually went to Karen, like, wait, was that story true about you at the interview telling the chief that you wanted his job? And she's like, yep, I'm that is true, and I'm going to be the chief.
Yeah, but that's to me, would tell me everything I'd want to know about somebody I was getting ready to hire, that they had that kind of confidence about themselves and where they themselves. That's it should be just an interview answer, but, you know, when I'm doing those officer development, and I got that young man, I ask him, where do you see yourself? Oh, maybe Cap. I don't want to get out. I'm like, come on. You know, Cap's great, but captains don't make a lot of policies. You got to move up the chain to start making some policy, real change sometimes in your organization. So, well, those were great answers. So, for the guests, this is how we always close the show. And let me do this, 'cause, you know, once we close the show at the end, it's you know, I don't always get a full opportunity to do this, but for myself personally, I found this to be very educational, enlightening in some ways. I hope it benefits everybody who listens to it. I really do. And I think we need to have more of these conversations at classes and conferences and online and in person and face-to-face and argue and debate and make this make the fire service, you know, I don't want to say, you know, friendlier to female firefighters, but where we all have the same exact opportunities. Because I think that's at the end of the day, and I, you know, I do this a lot, again, when I'm teaching, I don't care. If I'm down, I don't care if you're white, black, male, female, gay, straight. The only thing I care about is you getting me out. And I think when you said that early on, the fire doesn't give a shit. The fire's not going to burn cooler because we have a female on our crew that day. And the water's not going to be as turbulent, you know, when Brittany was saying that. So I think it's something that we need to keep having these conversations about to make us all better service in the long run, for sure. So what we do every time, we close up the show with just a final comment, and I'm going to have Anthony go first. By the way, if you've never listened to the quietest Anthony has ever been in his life, you okay, Anthony?
Leave me alone. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm being good. I've even had my phone on mute just to be good.
But so, closing remarks from you, Captain Rowett.
First off, just thank everybody for coming on the show and being willing to have this conversation and be honest about it. And then my closing remark would be that this should just be the start and that the conversation needs to continue. If you're not having the conversation, maybe you should. You know, maybe for different reasons people don't have it. Maybe some people aren't comfortable, but it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. And the more you communicate with people, the more you'll understand them. And then maybe some of the issues that people do have can be resolved through just simply understanding versus continuing to have a false belief.
Right. That's outstanding. I couldn't agree with you more on that comment, brother. Joe.
I'm actually going to tell a quick story. When I first started dating Karen 3-4 years ago, I was covering in a engine company for the night, and there was a female working, and she was really petite. And I said to Karen, I'm like, I don't know. How do I know she can handle the line? And Karen verbally smacked me down and immediately just said, like, would you ever say that about a small guy? And I was like, oh, okay. Started thinking about it. And through being with a female firefighter, learning about it, it really opened my eyes. And you know, there's still so much more I need to learn. And Karen tells me all the time, like, we talk about the firehouse, I talk about the men, and Karen hates that and tells me all the time. And that's just something like I'm learning to change, not because because I'm wrong. And an episode like this, hearing all these different women, it should be eye-opening to everyone. And I agree with Anthony. This conversation needs to continue. Guys need to realize that, you know, we can't do the things that things that happened in the 70s and 80s don't fly. That doesn't work. We need to be – a firehouse is an actual workplace. We need to be – open to all and realize that it doesn't matter who it is. As long as you do the job, that's all that matters.
Awesome. Yeah. So I love that story though, man. I think that's I wish I would have knew that story or well. That is such a unique perspective that she would ask you that question. And I hope everybody heard that loud and clear about her, you know, kind of bringing that up. Would you have asked that if it was a male that was the same exact build and size? And I think the honest answer is no. Nobody would not have crossed your mind. So great job, Karen.
Well, thank you.
So let me have your closing remarks now, Karen. Final thought from you.
Final thought is I just want to say to, like, anybody who's new to the fire, any female that's new to the fire department or any that are deciding if they want to come in, or even more tenured employees, that you should never doubt yourself or your abilities, and you should never let fear, like, dictate your actions. Just because you might be nervous to go to a conference because you're putting yourself out there in front of a bunch of people you don't know, don't let that hold you back from what is most likely going to be an amazing experience. And shoot for the stars. Like, try, like, don't be afraid to promote. Don't be afraid to do anything. You got to just go for it.
Awesome. Awesome. Brittany.
First and foremost, thank you for having me. I was very blessed and honored to even be asked to be here, especially among people like Tammy and Karen. I was blown away. I was over here actually taking notes from them. So I'm very new to the fire service myself. So it's very eye-opening to see other females' perspectives, too, that I, you know, hadn't thought about. It's the greatest job on earth. I would say take pride in the job, maintain your integrity, and have a great attitude, and you'll be successful. But you got to keep moving forward, and you always have to learn something new.
Outstanding. Great comment right there, too, about, you know, getting out there and learning from all of, you know, from each other, no matter what side of the fence you're on there. Captain Tammy.
I just want to thank you again for having me on. I had a blast. It was awesome to meet some other inspiring women. And I can't say enough about this career and what it's afforded me and how much I love it. So, so women looking to get into the fire service, or even young women on the job, something that I started doing probably kind of funny, like in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, I do something every day that scares me, like leaning into the fear. And I think that's probably one of the best things that I've done, not only for my personal life, but for my career. Like any kind of, if there's a training exercise or whatever, like I'm usually the first one out there to try it. I'll mess it all up and make all the mistakes first, but I learn a lot. I learn a lot more, and I have a lot of fun, and I think it kind of puts other people at ease. So, do something every day that scares you. You'll grow. You'll be much better for it. So.
And that, man, that's great. And that's great advice for, you know, everybody, especially younger people coming onto the job that, you know, kind of fade to the background versus being that first one stepping up to the plate. And experience that, because there is that, you know, especially when we're with our peers in public, and especially at conferences, I don't want to screw this up in front of these guys. Man, I guarantee you every guy, every firefighter, male and female, has had a lot of mistakes where they had a lot of success. So you kind of have to embrace that. My final thought, I really, again, so appreciative to meet all three of you and slowly getting to know you guys better, and hope we can work together on other things, and hopefully attend other events together, get to know each other more, and work together. Truly a blessing this job is to have interactions with male and female firefighters from across this country, and I'm always blown away after every podcast we do. I'm always blown away and always looking back at my notes, go, damn, I didn't know this, or this was really cool. I want to learn more about this and try to emphasize these things when I'm teaching. And you guys make me better by letting me be a part, and I feel very blessed you guys came on and were part of our podcast. So we appreciate you, folks. If you if you need anything, if you have questions, you want to reach out to anybody and you need that advice, I guarantee you reach out to me, Joe, Anthony. We will put you in touch with the right person, whether it's one of our guests tonight or one of our guests from the past. We will always be more than happy. That's one of our main goals as firefighters and instructors, is we want to help everybody in this job to be successful. And I think that's the best thing we can do for each other especially right now with, you know, all the other crap that's going on. And that's a whole different podcast and thing. So, again, thank you. We truly appreciate everybody listening. And, Anthony, if you really quick, what's our next date?
You just gave it to me the other day. It is, I told you today, May 18th.
May 18th. We'll be back on May 18th. We've got four or five ideas cooking right now, some guests cooking right now, and we will definitely have something out pretty quick, I guess, since we only have a month to turn the thing around. So we will talk to everybody soon. Have a great evening. Keep training, and take care of yourselves. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.